Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Carolina Panthers.
Hey, yeah, relax. Yeah, take a deep breath.
Oh yeah, I'm hot.
If you really upset, bomb on me so I can go inside. Okay. You got me?
Yeah.
It's like loosen a tooth.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
I won't press no charges. You can even play the whole season. No game suspension, none of that. Alright?
Yeah.
I may even give you some money. Alright? I just want to make you laugh. Okay?
Cat scratch fever.
But none of it, baby.
Cat scratch fever.
I can't quit now. Yeah, I keep my focus, man. I keep my focus. We're going to find out how far we can push ourselves.
Good evening, Panther fans. Welcome to another episode of Cat Scratch Radio. I'm Jackson, your host, here to talk Carolina Panther football with my buds. That's right. I got, Catastrophe on the line. And hopefully Goose Creek will be joining us here soon. But before I get old Cat on the line here, I'm going to give you my normal, what do you call it, opening monologue. I mean, what in the hell happened in Pittsburgh? I guess, you know, it seems like every year we get one game where we just want to forget about the damn game, and this was definitely it. It wasn't the Redskins game. You just thought that. Okay, that game actually was a little frustrating, but we had a chance. This one, I'd say after that first Panther scoring drive, it was just a shit show from there. And I had a friend at work who's a Panther fan. He said he worked second shift, and he said, man, he said, I'm never taking Thursday night off to watch that Panther game if the frickin' defense, if I knew the defense was going to take the night off too. And that's what it looked like. We just had no answer for those guys. And you know, my theory is short week plus, you know, Pittsburgh we saw in the preseason, sure it was vanilla, but they kind of smoked our asses in too. So they had a lot of confidence against us. They're playing well. And, again, I just don't know what happened to the defense. You know, it just I don't know, out-coached, outclassed, whatever. So I liked what Eric put up on his post with the Hogmoller report, throw the Steelers tape away, and let's move on. Let's look forward to the Lions game because I like our chances in that one certainly better than what happened. It has been 2 weeks since we've had this show, so we could reach back to the Bucs game. So I was hoping Goose Creek would call in for that one, and you know, because he went to the game, and that was a hell of a game. Quite the opposite last week, though. You know, so I guess that said, bring my buddy here, Catastrophe, on the line. What's up, man?
Jackson, what's up, bud?
You know, trying to recover from that game last Thursday. It was, God, do we just suck on prime time, it seems like? I mean, every now and again we'll play well, but prime time. But it's like one out of five games, and the other four we just suck.
Well, to be fair, it's really my fault. I'm taking the blame for the loss because every time that I have the night off and I watch a game, we lose. So it's my fault. It's definitely my fault. I don't know what it is.
You're probably not
every
the only
time
one.
That I've. Yeah, I know. Somebody else didn't wear the jersey or their hat sideways or backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Or
couldn't find their lucky socks. You know,
they couldn't find their lucky
up.
Coffee mug. Man, again, they crapped the bed, and so did all the fans. So.
Yeah. I mean, so the good news, they smoked us 52-21. Jeez. Put 50, hung 50 on our ass. You know, all I can say is I hope it motivates us. I can't imagine that. I want to say that the Panthers haven't lost two in a row in, quite a while. I have to look that up because I want to say.
Well, they specifically, they haven't lost two back-to-back road games. And we talked about that a few weeks ago under the Rivera era, ever. And
so the matchup is
I read that on the site or heard it on WFNZ. Do you ever listen to WFNZ? I've never heard you talk about it.
No, I really don't. And it's just more of I'm just not in tune on when it's on. Is it on during the day? I'm probably at work.
Six to ten.
Right?
The Mac Attack is usually what I listen to, and it's on from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and I have to stream it, you know, because I'm somewhere out in Virginia or whatever, but you can go back and listen to the podcast and stuff like that, but, I mean, that's all they usually do is just talk about Carolina sports, everything.
The Mac Attack?
So,
yeah. Anything in particular from this week you want to bring up?
Well, you know, Damian Lewis, he comes on every Tuesday, and it's called Tell the Truth Tuesday, and it's from like 8 to 9 or – yeah, it's from 8 to 9 in the morning. He's pretty much was saying, you know, it's a game that, you know, just got to put behind you and move forward. He does seem to think that KK is not playing as good as he possibly can. He thinks Don Terry Poe's doing pretty good. He's pretty sound in his assignments and stuff. But, just one that he said we should put behind us and move on. Yeah. He also thinks KK may not be right. Like, he could have an injury of some sort that, you know, not being really exposed.
Right.
Possible. But he's definitely not playing like he is capable of by his
standards.
Well,
he's not getting the stats. He's not getting the sacks like he used to. In seasons past. He got like one or two this season? But he's usually pretty good at run stopping. You're right. We haven't really seen that as much from him. And I don't know if it's because they're just able to double team him now without anyone else really picking up the slack. I don't expect that from Don Terry Poe.
He did say that the second string D line is definitely performing better when they're in the lineup as opposed to the first string. So when it's Love and Butler, especially over the past two, he said the past couple weeks, and then he went on to say really the past 3 to 4 weeks, Butler is developing. And I said a long time ago, I said that I think Vernon Butler could be a star. I can look at a football game and I'll watch it one time and I can see the splash plays and stuff like that. You know, his rookie year, he goes in and he blocks, you know, three or four, or he deflects three or four passes at the line, blocks a couple field goals, yada, yada. But the way that Damian Lewis explained it earlier today was that he was basically criminally underdeveloped when he came to the league, and he's just now being developed and he's starting to get into a little bit of a groove. So, I mean, he was pretty adamant about saying that the second team, Kyle Love and Vernon Butler, were performing better than Poe and Short. Pretty telling.
It sure does seem like Kyle Love is making a lot of plays. That's for sure. You know, impact plays. You know, that big hit he had against the Bucks to force the fumble. I don't know. Kyle Love just seems in his – I don't know. He's coming in fresh and, not really playing a lot of snaps. That's something I can look up. see what the snap distribution is. But, I would say what I've seen on the field, I can't disagree with that statement.
And, being him at that position, I mean, he would know. He would know, what position that guy's playing and what his objective is, what his specific assignment is almost every play. And he's watching the tape. Yeah, he's also a fan.
Yeah.
And he's just saying that when he came in, he was just really, really underdeveloped, and you're just now seeing a guy. And he's young. He's, 24 years old? He was another one of those Devin Funches guys.
Oh, yeah.
He was 20, and then he turned 21.
Yeah, he was 21, I think, right after we drafted him.
Right, just like Funches,
right,
and just
really
like Trey Turner.
Man. Yeah, it was really young. But I tell you one thing I was noticing about I was for fantasy. I'm always looking at the points against stats when I'm trying to decide between a couple players on which one to play. I look at who they're playing and how many points they've given up on average. The Panthers are the worst team in the league guarding the damn tight end. I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was that bad. Any ideas on why we're getting torched by tight ends when we got Luke Kuechly in the middle? I mean, I really thought that was, kind of their assignment. Or is it just mainly we're putting our nickel corner on the tight end? What do you think?
Play calling. I think it's absolutely play calling. I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, let's go ahead and fire Eric Washington. I'm not going to be that guy. But there are some times when you're just like, man, this guy's way over his head. What happened Thursday night? That's an anomaly. That kind of stuff does not happen. It's one of those games where everything just completely will not go your way. But play calling is a lot of, covering those tight ends. Luke Kuechly has not been the same Luke Kuechly that we've known since Eric Washington has taken over. Would you agree?
Yeah, that certainly looks to be true as well. I don't know.
Well, the play calling is what puts him in the position to succeed. Luke Kuechly to succeed, it has to be the right call.
Yeah. At this point, I just let Luke Kuechly make the freaking calls. What do you think?
I'm not going to argue. But it'd be really cool if freaking Ron Rivera would take over the defense because he's a monster. But, do you think he's just so engulfed in the game? Like, he's always got that stoic look. Like, man, I can't be a head coach and a deep coordinator. Well, there's people that do it all the time. And he was a phenomenal defensive coordinator. Let that guy make some calls.
I'm with you. I'm not ready to throw in the towel on Eric Washington just yet, but, he's got to be reevaluating, and I'm sure Ron Rivera is doing just that. Like you said, that's his forte, so.
And they've known each other for so long, and, you'd think ever since Rivera's been here, just the Panthers in general, we've always had defensive-minded head coaches. And Rivera is an above-average defensive coordinator. He's not just your normal guy. He's an above-average. He can do 3-4. He can do hybrid. He can do everything. Very knowledgeable at everything, obviously with all his experience. And this being Eric Washington's very first year, everybody gets some time. But I just hope that he just, punches old Eric Washington right in the gut and say, look, this is what we got to do. You can't have a defensive head coach like that and be so successful and give up points like that. We used to never give up a lot of points in the red zone. Now we can't stop anybody. That's sad.
Yeah. You're right. In the red zone, we're just not near as tough as we used to be. We always heard that bend but don't break thing. But, Yeah. So I'm looking at Kawan Short's PFF grade, and he's at an 80. He's still the highest guy on the defense, but that's down from in the 90s the previous three seasons. His snaps are down. Got him averaging 38 snaps a game. I'll have to pull up this game book here because I'm curious about the snap counts on the line.
While you're pulling that up, I will just say a lot of times, I don't know exactly the algorithms and how PFF grades, you know, puts out the grades, but sometimes has some influence, I would imagine. You know, just by the names, you know, Aaron Donald does not always look like he's, you know, a 99 on Madden. You know, he just doesn't. But somehow, all the time, he gets rated so high. You know, it's just saying. Probably got to meet right there.
I mean, they're probably giving the benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. Actually, Kuechly's rated an 84. He's the highest on the defense. They don't have Thomas. Yeah, this got him more average. But
I'm
looking at the matchup
pretty
against
good.
The Lions offense, of course, led by Stafford, and their halfback Johnson, they got Theo Riddick, and who is their running back Johnson? Who the hell is that?
Yeah, Kerryon Johnson, the rookie.
Oh, Kerryon, that's right, the rookie. I forgot about that. He's at a 77.
Yep.
Joey Gallo at Galladay, 78. I don't know. Their offense really doesn't scare me. So
we've had some pretty good history against Matt Patricia. He hates playing Cam Newton. Which is why the people that were saying you know, when Detroit Lions beat the Patriots and then Tennessee turned around and beat the Patriots. Vrabel, you know, the Titans coach, he was a three-time Super Bowl champion with the Patriots. You don't think he knows how to beat Tom Brady? And Matt Patricia was the defensive coordinator forever. Of course he knows how to beat him. But every time we beat the Patriots, he comes out and says, Cam Newton is my nightmare. We've always done good against Matt Patricia.
Well, that's a good observation. I'm going to have to consider that one. I'm looking for my dog out back. No, I'm in my backyard trying to get my dog to come in. You know, that's the airplane over top. Oh. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, you're good.
Fuckers out there barking. Yeah.
How you been doing in fantasy?
I've been sucking, but I was just actually looking at all that. Here she comes. Get your ass in the house. All right. I was just looking at... only in one of my, 6 leagues? No, 8 leagues. Am I just totally out of it? Got one of them just missing the playoffs, and I'm like around between the 4 to 6 seed in about all but one. I think in one I'm number 2, and that's so I'm kind of hanging on for the most part. But I think only 2 of them was I making the playoffs like 2 weeks ago, so it's getting a little better. Of course, you're crushing it there in CSR1, I noticed.
Yeah, you know, the only game I lost was to Big Money. It was 153.62 to 153.60. I lost by a Cam Newton step. I ain't kidding. Man, I was so mad. I should be 10-0, but it's whatever.
Well,
I can't believe I put up 193
points. You went
10-0.
If you went 13-0 going to the playoffs, that would just guarantee you to lose in the playoffs. You just know that. That's how it works. Right? So
that's a fact. That's a fact.
That's a fact.
The only other league, so, the only other league I've played in that it was always my big money league. I took a break this year. You know, I told you why. You know, just spiritual growth and stuff like that. I was going to play with you guys,
mm-hmm.
but it requires so much time to do that and do DraftKings and all that. There was one year I lost the very first game of the year. I had Kevin Cobb for the Eagles, and I lost the very first week, and I won every single game after that. It's the only time I've ever gotten close to being perfect, except for this year. So this is the second time I've ever been close to being perfect. So it just sucks.
Yeah, just one Cam Newton step away, huh? One dive over the top. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the game where Mason Crosby missed like five field goals.
And, you know, and fantasy is just such a fickle mistress. I mean, in that one league where I'm like 2-8 or some shit, yeah, I'm 2-8. I have as of last week, I had the third most points, but in dead last place. You know, I think I fell a little bit because I had a shitty week. I'm down to like fifth, but still, it's like I'm 10th, though, 10 out of 10. It's like, you know, I score 150 and lose, but I only scored 160. You know, it's just the way it's gone for me in that one league. And like in our league, guy, I think this is Ivan. He's FC Carolina. He's in second place at 8-2. Yet he has scored like the third least amount of points. You know, he's out of 12.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
like 8th in points scored. Yeah. You know, but you look, and he's had the least amount of points scored against him. So it's just, God, it could be such luck sometimes, man.
I've ran into those years, man. They suck.
It's like you just can't get a break. You know, or you come close to one, it's like, oh, if I hadn't benched that quarterback, I'd swap my quarterbacks out, I would have won. Shit like that. I did win in this league, but there's another one that I'm challenging in for that last spot, and this something told me that, my Fantasy Pros thing, it usually does me right, but this time it was saying, we recommend you put in Andy Dalton over Russell Wilson, and I did it. He sucked. I should have known it.
That would have been a good call, though, because you would have to think that the Saints were going to be able to score a lot. But without A.J. Green, man, it's just hard, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of what I was missing from that. And I'm sure that's one in my original Bob starting Wilson over Green. And then, I don't know, it was just one of those, you know, worst thing you do is, just get a hair up your ass and make a change at something because you just suddenly it seems like a good idea. It's like the worst time to change anything. Got to trust your instincts.
Oh, you mean like the DraftKings lineup that I had about 4 or 5 years ago, when if I wouldn't have taken out Jonas Gray, I would have won the million.
Yeah.
I took him out like five to 10 minutes right before the start of the lineup. And if I had left him in, I mean, I would have won the million by at least 20 points.
Wow.
I mean, I still won a lot today, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's your parlay?
Let's see. You know, I haven't actually, I didn't bet this last week. I've had a couple of deaths. Friend, you know, one good friend of mine and one good friend of my wife's within a week's time. One expected, one unexpected, and, the election and this all that. I just, you know, if I'm going to bet money, I got to sit down and, like you said, you got to put your brain into it for a little while. You can't just throw darts. That's how you give your money away. But the Panthers are -4 at the Lions. I think I like that. Over under is 51.5.
What does that mean?
I feel a Panthers rebound.
They're expected to lose.
well, we're giving up 4 points, so we got to win by five or more. So, I mean, I could feel a touchdown victory.
So when a team is a minus, that means they're expected to win?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So it means you have to give up 4 points if somebody wants to take the Lions. So the Lions are plus four. Panthers.
So they would have to win by 24-20. The Lions.
Well, that would be a tie. That would be a tie. Yeah, it'd be a push. So if we actually won by four, that would be a push. And if it was on a parlay card, it would just not count. It'd be like the other two games I picked would be the deciding factor.
Okay.
And so I don't understand why they don't use half points in all of them, just so there's no ties. But for whatever reason, they do that. Because it's a push. Everybody gets their money back on that one bet, if that's your only bet.
How would a half point make a difference? Like, you can't score 24.5 points.
Bet could not tie. Somebody would, you know, either you'd win or the house would win, one or the other, you know. So there'd be no push.
Okay.
When it's an even number, there's a chance of a push. So, again, I don't know why they – I guess they like a push every now and again. Maybe it helps them. I'm not sure.
Maybe to break even.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, as I go down, I see four games that are all even numbers and others that are half points. Green Bay's getting 2.5 in Seattle. That seems like a pretty good bet right there, too.
So that means Green Bay would have to win by at least three to win.
No, they're getting 3 points. They're getting 2.5, meaning that if they lost by 1 point or 2 points, I'd still win. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's Green Bay plus 2.5 in Seattle, which that seems like a good bet to me. I know the Seahawks are playing better. And sometimes
it's
just better.
I thought
they were
going to beat the Rams the other night.
It was close. I mean, it looked like it, but yeah, they just couldn't pull it out. Of course, you know, the Saints then wax their ass, the Rams. God, man, the Saints just look unbeatable, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I was talking to my buddy earlier, and I sent him a message and I said, man, I hope that they're peaking a lot earlier than the Panthers, because if we can get this loss behind us and win the next four, we do have the easiest schedule as far as the NFC South goes, as far as teams with losing records. We're playing the teams with the most losing records. The only winning record is the Saints. Leftover for the NFC South. So,
yeah. What do you think of the Chiefs?
Maybe they're peaking right now.
Yeah. What do you think of the Chiefs getting – they're getting 3.5 at the Rams. That's going to be a hell of a game. You know, the over-unders – this is the largest over-under I've ever seen, 64 points.
I believe it.
So an over-under,
I believe it.
You're just picking the total score. 64, I think that's the largest I've ever seen in pro. But,
I would take the under on it. But, and I think the Chiefs' defense is actually playing a little bit better than they have been, and they still don't even have Barry back yet.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. The Eagles are getting plus 9 in New Orleans. That's tempting, you know, because the Eagle defense can play well sometimes.
You know, Darby's out, too. They're starting a cornerback, one of them.
Yeah.
I think he's a nickel, maybe. He's out for the year. Oh, Cooper Kupp's out, too, for the Rams.
Ooh. Now that makes somebody's value go up. I guess Sammy Watkins. He was out last week, actually. No, he plays for the Chiefs. I'm sorry. He left the Rams.
Josh Reynolds, maybe.
They got what? They got Robert Woods and Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who I'm trying to think of. He should have a big week. But yeah, Josh
and
Reynolds.
Maybe Josh Reynolds.
Third guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He might be a good sleeper, you know, low value sleeper.
Especially in DFS, you know, he's not going to cost anything.
Yeah. I like the Cardinals -4 at home against the Raiders. The Raiders are just a shit show right now. And the Cardinals are actually playing pretty good. They match up pretty well with them.
So that means they're going to have to win by at least 4 if somebody were to bet that game.
Yeah, yeah. But, again, the Raiders are just a mess right now. And David Johnson finally had a decent game for the Cardinals. So let's see here. What else do I like? I don't know. I kind of like the Panthers rebound. I hate to bet on them. The over-under is 51.5, so.
I think the Panthers are going to be scoring for sure.
I think so, too. I think that we could have the over on that one, 51. And so that's just, hell, that's just 27-24 or 28-24 type of score, and we would for that to go the over. I think I like the over on that one.
When you do a parlay, do you have to pick like 3 games or 5 games, and can you mix it up? Saying, all right, let's say you pick one game and you just want to do the over under. Can you do the next of the 5 games? Could it be the
for the
favorite point? You can do it like that.
Yeah, at least cool. On the site, I go to TopBet.eu. And you can bet a number. You can just bet 2 games. I have found that the odds. I'm talking to a lot of people. They're like, just the three pick parlay is kind of your best bang. Of course, you know, you go with 4, you win more money, but you add that 4th one. Obviously, that's just more risk of losing. So it's just kind of like the 3 is my sweet spot. I can pick 3 every probably 3rd try. And if you do it that way, if you just hit 1 out of 3, bet the same amount, you'll still come ahead. You'll still double your money. So
what if you put in $100 and you picked 3 games, you did 1 over under and you got that right, and then you did the next 2 and you were get the points, how much could you win?
Let me see. I'll put it in here. So if I took the over-under and the Panthers and I went with the Cardinals, let's see here. Parlay options. Yep, 3 team and you said $100?
Yeah.
You'd win $573. If you pick 3 correct, win, you know.
For 3 games, that's crazy.
it's harder than it sounds, though. Some weeks it's just really easy, but let's see. I usually just do $20, and usually it'll pay out about 100. Between 114 or 112 up to 120, or up to 140, actually. Because it varies, because there's just certain different odds on everything that you select. So even though you'd think that every bet from their standpoint was a 50-50, it doesn't really work like that. So right now it's paying out $114.60. But if I change the 3 things I'm picking, that number could go up or down. Again, I'm not sure how that works, but it's usually in that range. So, like I said, if you bet 3 times and you only hit once, and it's usually about $120, well, you bet 60 because you made 3 $20 bets, and you won about $120. So you end up doubling your money. But if you hit two out of three, then you're doing really good. You know, you're ahead of the game. So
the 50-50 thing would kind of be like doing the over-under. That seems like you wouldn't win as much just picking the over-under as you would the points. On the surface, that's what it would sound like to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing I do on these over-and-unders I've noticed is I always look at, well, what's the highest and the lowest game? And usually it's like the lowest one. So Raiders-Cardinals is 41 points. And then Texans Redskins is 42.5. That's the two lowest ones. That usually there's a game that's under 40 points just about every week. And, it's usually one of these where they have it low, and then it's just like, you look at the two offenses, you're like, yeah, these offenses suck. There's no way. Raiders-Cardinals is the lowest one this week. Which wouldn't surprise me because both of those offenses are shit. I'm tempted to take, because I don't want to do two bets on the Panthers game. That's a jinx and a half right there. Maybe I should stick with the under or the over. 51.5.
And I do think whatever's going on with the Raiders, I think it was all a part of the plan before John Gruden ever signed that contract. Like, they have 5 first-round picks next year and the year after. And, anytime a new coach comes to a team, they're usually attached to the quarterback that they have. And I don't think Gruden really believes in Derek Carr. So within the next 2 years, they have 5 first-round draft picks. We might be seeing a new quarterback in Oakland, and I really think he's got the rest of this year and then 9 more years to make something happen. But I'd almost guarantee that it was probably talked about in that contract meeting. Hey, before I sign on this line, I just want you to know I don't believe in Derek Carr.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm with you. He's just so inconsistent, and he just can't put up the numbers consistently. Yeah. I mean, and I know their offensive line hasn't been that bad. Yeah, and he gets hurt too. I don't know, that Carr family, they just look great in college, just can't finish it in the pros. But, I think I'm going to take the Panthers over. I like the Cardinals under. They won't let you – yeah, that's one thing about it. You can't do 3 all over and unders. You got to pick at least one.
Okay, yeah.
Using the spread. Yeah. I'm kind of liking the Packers in Seattle. Let's see what that one does for me now. My parlay options. I guess old Goose Creek's not going to join us. Nobody else. I didn't post this on the blog. Kind of late.
Oh,
getting
you did?
It started.
I didn't.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't post it on the blog.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's probably why I didn't call in then. Are y'all friends on Facebook?
I send him a text. I have his phone number. I've texted him. But I didn't do it right away.
I tried to look for him on Facebook. I know his name's Randy, but I don't know what his last name is because I was trying to friend him on Facebook.
His wife has a Facebook. He doesn't.
Oh, I gotcha.
So this one is coming out to be an even 120. So, I actually like this one better.
What does that mean?
I picked the over. Yeah, I put a $20 bet, and I could win 120 if, Panthers-Lions is over at 51.5. The Raiders and Cardinals are under 41. And the Packers win. Well, they're plus 2.5 in Seattle. Yeah, I think I'll go with that one.
So as long as they're within 1 point, you're straight.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, yep. Just can't have them lose by a field goal. I think they'll win outright. I mean, I know Seattle's playing
Actually, I do too.
They're not playing that
better. They just came down for a big emotional loss too, so.
Yeah.
What's the most you ever won on, like, one of those bets? You don't have to give me an exact figure, but, I mean,
I bet four. I hit. I put 40 in one time. I think if you do 40, you win, like, 260, something like that, 250, 260.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, I just bet more money one time, but typically it was a three-team parlay. Every now and again I'll do a four if I can't decide, and I'll just say, screw it, but I'll bet less. You know, like, sometimes I'll do two or three bets a week, you know, in one set of picks. You know, like, this would be my main three, but if I'm like, you know, I just really feel good about these two, I'll do another bet with those two and swap the third one. You know, but maybe only bet $10, you know, or maybe I'll add a fourth to the one with three if I really like, you know, I have four games, I'll have four picks I like, but I only bet like $10 on it. But again, you go with four teams and you win like 200. You know, you kind of, if you got a couple you feel really good at, then you make that kind of your base bet on two or three different combinations, just hoping to hit one of them. And if you should happen to hit two, then that's even better.
What's the most games you can bet on one parlay?
Oh. I don't know. I hadn't tried that, but I bet it goes up to 9 or 10 games.
That'd be incredibly hard to win.
Oh, yeah. I know last year posted this lady that just blind picked an entire damn parlay card for the week. It was like one of those, you know, just bet like a buck or something, but pick every game, and this lady nailed it. They posted it on Facebook. It was like, oh my God. And she had no idea what she was doing. Yeah, that's like guessing like 20-something games correctly, you know? It's just the odds are crazy, but she'd only bet like a buck, but she still won like $1,000 or some shit like that. One or two, maybe it's 3,000, you know, on a $1 or $2 bet.
Have you ever seen those pools at, and maybe your work does it too, I don't know, but, you know, you'll have those sheets at work, you know, like, you know, who's winning, you know, you just circle the teams that wins and, you know, whoever's got the most wins.
Yeah, it's where you just, you pick every game and it just, you pick them straight up. And,
right. So like,
yeah, I've got a friend that's like that. And it's like the, it's like you're betting $10 every week, you know, and,
right.
So much of it goes into a pool for the end, and so much of it goes out, like, you win it that week, but you don't get the money. It's like they just add up, like, they place, it's like the top three, or you get, if you have the most number of wins, you get points, more points and versus second place or third place every week. I know, it's pretty damn complicated, but all I know is that every week they just submit their pick just to straight up who they think's going to win.
That's what they do at my work, and usually gets to like $400 or $500. Sometimes at the beginning of the year, usually like the first 4 weeks, I mean, it can get up to like $600, $700, maybe even $800. But there's a guy at work that plays in it, and he does another one at another company that's got, I mean, just a mass amount of employees, and he gets up to like $8,000 to $10,000. But 2 years ago, he won it, and he told me 1 year there was a guy that played in that big one whose kid picked every single game perfectly based off the colors he liked on the teams. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And he said that one was like $10,000 that the kid won. I mean, he was like 5 or 6 years old that made the picks.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's blind luck, brother. That's all it is.
Yep. What else can you say? So there's another site I want to give a shout out to. It's called The Linebacker. Now, this used to be a prediction machine. I used to link it up all last year. But this is called The Linebacker, you know, kind of like the linebacker, like the betting line. But this is just, all they do is do prediction. They got one of these simulation machines, and they run, you know, the old 50,000 simulations based on the spread and, I don't know, whatever else their algorithms are. But they're usually pretty good. They whiffed on a few recently, particularly the Panthers. A couple weeks ago, I think it was the Eagles game. I have to think about it, but boy, they whipped on a couple. But a lot of times they're pretty round. But they have if you go to the website, all you do is join it. It doesn't cost anything, but they give out free picks every week. Usually one college game and one, and you can go back and actually look at the previous weeks and what they've got. Let's see, how did the Patriots Packers game go last week? Do you remember? Right, let's see. I know what that is. Oh, that was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Oh, Patriots won, I think, by like 14, didn't they?
Let's see. Patriots, Packers.
12 or 14, one of the two.
Patriots won 31-17. That's right. Let's see. Linebacker had... Now they're saying take the Packers plus six, so that was a loser. They had a projected score of 27-26. That wasn't even close. Oh, they missed on that one. And then they had Virginia. They said in the college game, they said take Virginia Tech plus two against Boston College. Not sure how that one turned out. And then last week they had Eagles – Cowboys, let's see.
I think the Cowboys won by seven, right?
Yeah, so they had the Eagles winning by three. But I said that the bet was, oh, shit, it was Eagles were minus eight. And so they were
so
saying
they had to
Cowboys.
Won 28 to 20.
Yeah, they're saying to take the Cowboys plus eight. And they ended up winning, right? So,
By the way,
yeah, because they actually,
I know,
predicted the Eagles win by three. Yep. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I know we're about to get off here in about 6 minutes, but we ain't said anything about C.J. Anderson.
Oh yeah, so I've been busy as shit at work. So when stuff like this falls during the day, I just really don't have a lot of time to look into it. So what have you read about that? What was the reason? Did they give a reason?
Well, there hasn't been any reason, and there probably won't be any reason. You could speculate that he wanted to be released, you know, so he could go somewhere and get more than two snaps a game, because that's essentially what he was getting. And Damian Lewis talked about that today on Tell the Truth Tuesday. He said, you know, he's had five carries the last 4 weeks. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So he just wasn't.
He was expecting a bigger workload, that's for sure. And, you know, I'm surprised he didn't get more snaps. But then again, McCaffrey is North Turner's boy, man. And he just, you know, that one
like
ball.
That's what has happened.
Yeah. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Yeah, he got five snaps this past game. And I think for me, the death knell was that one pass that he dropped right over the middle on like a third down. You know, he's wide open, came through to him, he dropped it. You know, just like, oh, shit, we'll see you on the end of the bench, dude.
Yeah, wasn't it the next play, he dropped another, or he had a pass deflect off of him. That was the Falcons game, right? It's like two passes in a row.
Yeah.
And he's always been known to catch the ball.
He didn't drop it. It just like hit right off his pad. I mean, he just, yeah.
Yeah.
That was like almost
intercepted. He's always been a good catcher.
Yeah. It was just an unfortunate thing. But, yeah.
I don't think you fit with
him. I've had a chance to think about
really
it.
Don't.
He probably wanted to be released. You know, he probably did want to be released. He's like, hey, maybe I can catch on with a team that will actually use me and needs a running back out there.
And that's perfectly fine. I mean, I get it. I totally do. He's a 1,000-yard back last year, you know.
And we took
him. And I don't think that they were expecting McCaffrey to be as good and as durable and necessary to this offense as he has been. And I think it was probably a good time to part ways, you know, this little 10-day bye week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just my guess.
Yeah. And, you know, now we can get I know they signed Cadet, but now maybe Cap will get a jersey. And we, you know, we get Cap in there, and, you know, he's pretty competent between the tackles. Certainly can fill the role C.J. Anderson was providing.
Yeah, so I think instead of using C.J. as a replication of McCaffrey, they got Cadet. And Cadet should be able to give us some intel on New Orleans, you know, because he played with New Orleans for a few years.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that because I was like, why Cadet? It just seemed like a weird – because we haven't had him on our roster before, have we?
Oh, no, huh? He's been with like five or six teams, but – the one he stayed with the longest, I believe, was New Orleans. When Sproles got hurt, they were using him in that Sproles role, and he was fine. He's got a lot of receptions. I think he has, you know, close to 1,000 yards in receiving. He would be a good, you know, one or two, maybe five snaps a game and a replacement, you know, just to give McCaffrey a breather.
Yeah. And maybe that's just what they're looking for, is somebody that's got better hands and that when McCaffrey needs a breather, they don't have to change the offense because they're putting in a guy that just doesn't have the hands McCaffrey does. Again, I don't know if that really accurately describes Anderson. Yeah.
And every time C.J. Anderson gets in there, you know, it's one of those like, okay, well, we know what this guy's going to do. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's just going to run between the tackles. If it's a run play, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to go out and run those angle routes out of the backfield and stuff. So,
yeah, that could be. Let's see. We were talking about the defensive tackle rotation earlier. And let's see. So, Kalon Short, 38 snaps. And then I got to go down to, Don Terry Poe, 32. Kyle Love, 25. Vernon Butler, 20. So that's kind of the perfect mix from a Ron Rivera point. You know, you got two guys getting about two-thirds. And let's see, I think the recording's about to end, but we'll keep it rolling here. And, about two-thirds, and then the backups are about a third of the snaps. So, you know, Love is, right at 43%, and then Butler at 34%. So, it kind of works out.
Do you have – you have to have a membership to the PFF grades, right?
Yeah. And even then, I just bought what they call the Elite. There's another level up that they want a lot more money where you can pick an individual person and they'll break down the grade for you by all aspects, you know, whether run versus pass versus this versus that, you know, and I didn't pay for that. I just get the raw total grades, and it shows like the whole team on offense and defense, and then you can do the matchup and just show – you know, how they match up. So, like for us, I didn't notice this earlier, but when you switch to the nickel, you got Ziggy Ansah in here. He's lined up on this Clark kid who finally, against the Steelers, you know, kind of showed that he ain't, you know, he's not just some miracle kid at left tackle. He came down to earth a little bit, let's put it that way.
Yeah, but Rivera made a good point. Like, when you're down 21-7, I mean, you can throw all kinds of just stupid, crazy blitzes, and it'd be so hard to pick up. On a short week, you're not able to hear, you know, because you're playing, you know, at the Steelers. You know, you don't have a whole lot of time to look at film and say, okay, well, this is where the pass protections are. That's why Cameron Hayward, you know, ate Christian McCaffrey on a couple plays. He did eat him. I saw the hot sauce. I saw it. He's like, yum, 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 yum.
I mean, come on. He's our starting running back. We don't need him sacrificing his body. You know, he kind of dove at his legs and he hopped right over him.
That's a big boy.
Yeah. Hayward's a big boy. But yeah, so we got Ziggy Ansah with his 85 grade on Clark at left tackle. So that's certainly something to watch. And then their middle guy in there, under tackle, Hand, last name Hand, not ringing a bell for me.
Me either.
But he's their second best guy on the defense. So seems like we should be able to make some hay against these guys.
How did Butler grade out this past week? I don't know if that's available to you or not. But.
No, it's not popping up here. I think if I maybe go to the actual team focus, I can look at it. Yeah, one second. Where's my internet sucking today? What's going on here? Oh, I can't get it to come up. It's acting weird. All right, here we go, finally. So in our, what's this, they're saying this is our three receiver nickel. Kyle Love is in there now, and he's got a 73.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, Poe's a 61. Yeah, it's not giving me Butler. But let's see, along the offensive line, Van Roten at left guard is our biggest weakness. So the answer is on the roster to losing Andrew Norwell is still needing some development.
I've heard Norwell's been pretty rough this year, just so you know.
Has he?
I think a lot of it has to do with Ryan Khalil. He is so underrated. Anytime he's out there, he can pick up the mic initially, which that's important because you know where your alignment is. After that, it's all a guessing game. But he is so smart. He's like, all right, this is where the blitz is coming from. That's why he does so good. That's why I think Andrew Norwell did so well when he was here.
Yeah, wow, Norwell's grade is a 63. So that's average, middle of the road. Certainly they thought they were getting more for their money.
Where you want to be. Yeah.
Yeah, 70 is kind of, what do they call it, like a quality starter.
Right, that's right.
An average, yeah. decent starter. So, yeah, he's not having the season they probably thought. Because he's got some guy named Shatley at center instead of Ryan Khalil. He's got Shitley. Yeah. Oh, God, I don't even know anybody. I don't know anybody on their offensive line except Norwell.
I don't either. You remember a couple, like maybe 2, maybe 3 years ago, Luke Kuechly got the highest grade ever posted on PFF. Do you remember that? It was a big, big deal.
Yeah, well, maybe that is the problem is the defensive calls, you know.
Could be. I know you're about to wrap it up, man. I'm glad you did it tonight, and I'll definitely be available for next week, but then it'll be another 4-week stretch for me. I won't be able to call in, so hopefully Goose will
be
able to call in next
for the
week.
Playoff. Yeah, that'll be our playoff push there.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, we'll try to do it again next week.
Sounds good.
We'll
good talking to you,
better
buddy.
Things to talk about. All right, man. We'll see you, Brandon.
All right, brother. See you.